Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Pastor Roger did a fantastic job last week reminding us and kind of setting the tone for this series that we're starting. And the series that we're starting is called Authorized. And I'm going to give you the definition for that in just a minute. But the idea was that we were coming off of what Pastor George and Pastor Jeff had taught on the weekend about the Holy Spirit, and we were going to set aside some time that we were going to specifically speak about the manifestation gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, which we are still going to do. And by the way, just so you know, we have talked with Betty and those faithful children's workers, and starting next week for 3 weeks, they have extended some grace to us to give us another 15 minutes of service time, because we're going to just do some practical application stuff. We're going to teach from the Bible, and then we're going to do the Bible, okay? We're going to teach from the Bible, and then we're going to do the Bible, and we're going to do it right here. And if it gets a little bit messy, that's okay. The only way you can learn is by stepping out. So that's what we're going to do. And so we're going to need a little bit of extended time to be able to do that. So having said that, here's how I want to start tonight. I want to start by asking you to rate your believability. And when I say believability, here's what I mean. Rate your believability between 1 and 5 on your ability to believe God in what He says and what He tells you to do. Now, nobody else is going to see it, and maybe you just want to put a number right on the top of your paper, and you just want to write believability, and a 1 is a low number, and a 5 is a high number. So if you have a 5, then you're doing good. If you have a 1, you need an infusion, okay? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to put an honest number down on that piece of paper and just really think about that, because as we go through this message, that is going to be important. And it's going to be important to seeing how we walk through all of this. I'm going to share this pulpit tonight with Scott. He's going to come and he's going to share an amazing testimony with us here in a little bit. But before I do that, I want us to look at the definition of authorized. I want to start there. I want us to look at the definition of authorized, because when we're talking about authorized, and remember Pastor Roger last week said that there came a time when he and Lisa signed on a house that they were buying in Colorado, and they were authorized to take occupancy of that home. They became authorized, legally authorized, to take possession of that home. So they packed everything up from Tahoe, where they were living, and they moved from there to Colorado because they had an authorization. They had a note that said, you have just purchased a home, and here's the set of keys to your home, and so now you're authorized to take occupancy of that home. And so that same analogy needs to be heard in our own hearts. We've been authorized by God in the area of the gifts. We have been authorized by God to allow those gifts to be exercised and utilized in our lives. So here's the definition then of authorized: given or endowed with authority. Jesus said in His Word that all the authority that He had been given to you and I to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So there was an authorization given. There was power and authority given to us, transferred. The same power, the same authority that Jesus had on earth, He transferred that power and authority to us. So it's been given or endowed with authority, an authorized agent. Say, that's me. You are an authorized agent of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are authorized agents of Jesus Christ. You and I have been duly sanctioned. We've been duly sanctioned by God. So, keeping that in mind, here's what I want you to do. I want you to open your outline, but I don't want you to start where you normally would start. I want you to start at the last point, and they're going to bring it up there. And I'm going to start by saying this, which we all know, but I don't know if we really live. You and I must believe Jesus. Say, believe. You and I must believe Jesus. If Jesus said it, then it must be good enough for us, and it can't just be good enough that it's in our heads, but it's got to be good enough that we're living it out and we're walking it out. I wanted to close the message with that, but I felt like God said, no, you need to start the message with that. Shift gears and start the message with that. I ask you to rate your believability when it comes to Jesus, because when you study out the words of Jesus and his interaction with the disciples, he constantly challenged them with, do you believe what I'm saying? Do you believe what I'm saying? And he said that so often when he walked with them, and it wasn't because he was confused. He said it because he wanted to make sure that they understood how important it was going to be to believe Jesus. If we're going to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is here. He's living inside of us. Now, with and through cooperation, God can do amazing things, but we have to be willing to cooperate. So it starts with believing Jesus. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus said in John chapter 14. He was always thinking about his disciples. He's on his way to the cross, and he pauses to just say some really significant things to the disciples. So here's where we're going to start. Then you're going to need one of those Bibles in front of you if you don't have a Bible, because we're going to go back somewhere that's not on your notes. So here's what Jesus said. Believe me. That's pretty simple, right? He says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or at least believe. Now think about, why would Jesus say, or at least believe? First he says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, and then it's almost like he's looking at the audience and wondering if that's enough. Is it enough for me to say to them, believe me? Because then he says, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. Underline in my name. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son of God or the Son of Man may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name. There it is again. Underline that. In my name. So Jesus starts out by saying, believe me, and then he thinks and he looks out and he pans the audience and he says, okay, wait a minute. Some of them may be struggling with the believe me part. So then he goes on to say, okay, or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles that you've seen. Jesus went to great lengths to capture miracles in the scriptures, and he wanted people to see it firsthand, but he also wanted us to see it. Because if we're having a hard time with the believe me part, then we need to look at the miracles of Jesus. And we need to look at what Jesus did. Because according to the words of Jesus, you and I will do greater things than these, than what? Than the things that Jesus did. Than the miracles that Jesus did. We will do greater things than these because he was going to the Father. Here's the key. In my name. In my name. If you do these things in my name, it will work. So when you're believing for the manifestation of God's Spirit to work, you do it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Until the name of Jesus dies, it will work. We know it will never die. Amen? The name of Jesus will never die. So Jesus is saying, believe me, or at least believe in the miracles, and the key to all that is in my name. If in my name you believe, Jesus said, I will do it. In my name, I will do it. There's power in the name of Jesus. We sing it. There's power in the name of Jesus. And then he goes on to say, if you love me, you will obey what I command. So here's what I want us to do. Jesus said, believe me, or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles themselves. So here's what I'm suggesting. Let's go back and look at one of the miracles. Let's go back and look at one of the miracles and see what Jesus was teaching with one of these miracles about believing. Okay? Say, okay, Jesus. Jesus said, if you don't want to believe in me, then believe in the miracles. Okay, Jesus, we'll do that. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn to Mark chapter 9. And I'm going to read several verses to you, starting in verse 14. And I'll just set the stage a little bit for this, and hopefully I can unpack this with a little bit of clarity. So, Jesus has just been to the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's spent some amazing time with God, and all of a sudden he's coming down the mountain and he starts to hear some stuff as he's coming down the mountain. And he knew it before, obviously, because he's God, but he's coming down the mountain and he hears some stuff. And let me start in verse 14, and I'm going to read through verse 26. And then I want us to unpack this miracle, because Jesus said, believe in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles. There's something that we can unlock in the mystery of this miracle that I think will be great encouragement to us. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and they ran to greet him. What are you arguing about? Asked Jesus. A man in the crowd answered, teacher, and here's the interesting thing. Was this man a follower or a seeker of Jesus? We don't know. We don't know for sure if this man was a follower and a disciple of Jesus or if he was a seeker. A man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son. So his intention was to bring the son to Jesus. Well, Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. I brought my son to you who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Now, those two things are important. He had originally come and he had wanted to talk to Jesus. Jesus was not there because Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. So the man says to Jesus, when Jesus says, what are you arguing about? The man says, I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not do it. And so here's the dialogue. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Wow. What's going on there? There's some frustration in the voice of Jesus. Who's he talking about? The brilliance here in the writing of the scriptures, we're not 100% sure. Maybe he's talking right to me. Blake, I'm talking to you. Maybe he's talking to you. He's certainly talking to somebody. O unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and he rolled around foaming at the mouth. That's a freaky kind of a thing. He's foaming at the mouth. We know as we read on further that the disciples were freaking out as well. Jesus said to the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Now notice Jesus' response. He says, the man says to Jesus, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And then Jesus immediately responds with, if you can. He doesn't say, if I can. He says, if you can. The man says to Jesus, if you can do anything for my boy, please do it. And Jesus immediately turns it around and says, if you can. If you can. Immediately, Jesus is trying to get people that are reading this to look at it differently and understand it differently. And Jesus said this, everything, say everything. Everything is possible for him who believes. Now, these are the words of Jesus. Everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, now listen to these words, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. It's as if this man is in this state of confusion, and I can't help but to think that he came to Jesus and he wanted to see Jesus, but Jesus wasn't available because Jesus was on the mountain being transfigured. And he comes to the disciples, those who have already been given the authority. Earlier, Jesus sent them out with authority. He sent them out with the authority to drive out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. They had already been sent out with that authority, but for whatever reason, when they were praying, something wasn't happening. So Jesus turns it around. The man says, if you can do something, and Jesus says, if you can, if you can. So the man comes to Jesus. Jesus is not available. He comes to Jesus' disciples, and he becomes very disillusioned. Why? Because the disciples, we know several verses down, the disciples prayed and nothing happened. Why was that? Why was that? So this man is caught in this situation where he says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Let me say this to you. None of this is going to be written on your outline. So let me just make a few statements, and I wrote a few things down, and I just want to unpack this just a little bit more. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. We just read in John chapter 14, it's on your outline. Believe me when I say I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles. So faith begins where the will of God is known. What's the will of God? Miracles, faith, healing, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, tongue, interpretation of tongues. The will of God is the supernatural. Amen? Amen. Say amen. The will of God is the supernatural. So faith begins where the will of God is known. So what is the will of God? The will of God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is I do not want you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant. We're going to read that in just a minute, but that's God's will, that we know about these spiritual gifts. So this man is in this place of doubt. I've said this before, but I think doubt is this, and I think it's a good description of doubt. Doubt is the state of mind in suspension between faith and unbelief. So if you can imagine a teeter-totter, and doubt is in the center, and doubt is the state of mind that is in suspension between faith and unbelief. Are we going to have faith? Are we going to believe God? Are we going to believe His Word? Or are we going to doubt? This man obviously wanted to believe, but he was struggling. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Jesus says, if you can, God's desire is that we allow Him to work through us because we believe Him. We believe Him. We believe that what He says, we believe that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us, and that God wants to move and God wants to work in our lives. Jesus is frustrated. Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I put up with you? How long? Bring the boy to me. That wasn't what God intended. What God had intended was that His disciples would walk in the authority that God had already given them. We need to be doing that. And that's why I asked you, what's your believability level? If it's a 1, it needs to go up to a 2. The reason that we're gonna discover and we're gonna experiment, we're gonna coach the gifts a bit in the next 3 weeks is because we want to be comfortable with that. We want to be able to know that when we go to the workplace or we go somewhere and God says, pray for somebody, that we will have the faith to believe that God really means it. That it's not just a bad pizza that you ate, or it's not just too much caffeine. It's God speaking and God saying, pray, pray, pray. Word of wisdom. People need a word of wisdom. People need a word of knowledge. We need discerning of spirits. We need faith, we need healing, and we need miracle. And Jesus said everything is possible for him who believes. And we're either going to believe that or we're not. Now, let me say a couple more things to you. To approach anything, and I just jotted a few things down today. To approach anything hopeless or faithless is to empower it not to change. Let me say it again. To approach anything hopeless or faithless is to empower it not to change. If we want to empower something not to change, including ourselves, if I want to empower myself not to change, then the way that I do that is being hopeless or faithless. If I am hopeless or faithless, then I am empowering my life not to change, or the circumstances not to change. On the other hand, to approach it in faith makes it a possibility. To approach things in faith makes it a possibility. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14, believe me when I say. Believe me when I say. He wants us to live there. The last day church, whatever that church is, if it's us, whoever it is, the last day church is going to be empowered with supernatural abilities to accomplish the will of God. That should get us excited. That should get us so excited to know that God plans to pour out His Spirit in powerful ways to impact the world. Not so that we can pat ourselves on the back, and not so we can take credit for it, but so God can get the glory for it. I wonder today if Jesus is frustrated with our generation. I wonder if Jesus would say today, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you?" Jesus wanted to ensure that we would not be frustrated. So he said, "I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen. I'm going to go and be with my Father, and then I'm going to send the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you." The surest way to avoid pessimism is to take action. The surest way to avoid pessimism is to take action. So here's this man who's in desperate, desperate need. He needs something to happen for his son. He needs a miracle to happen. This spirit that's possessed him is throwing him into the fire, and it's been his whole life, and he doesn't know what to do. And he looks to the men of God. He looks to the people of faith to speak into it and to do something. "Oh, Jesus, if you can, if you can, if you can." And Jesus says, "If you can. If you can, everything is possible for him who believes." I said to you that this week I was teaching at YWAM. And Scott, who I'm going to invite to come on up here. Scott, come on up here. Scott came to YWAM with me on Monday, and faithful man who prays for me and just texts me often and blesses me and encourages me and just many, many things that I'm grateful for. And he told me on Sunday about a miracle that happened, and he was a part of that miracle. And Monday at YWAM, when I was teaching, I got done with this session, and I said, "Scott, will you share that testimony with these young people?" And he shared that testimony, and before he hardly finished the testimony, people were coming up to him saying, "Tell me more, tell me more, tell me more." So, Scott, tell us about the miracle. Tell us about what happened, what you got to be a part of, and why. Tell us why, first of all, why you were a part of it, and then what it was.
Okay. So I usually work with the high school students over on the east side, and with the last 4 or 5 months, God just called me to be over on the west side before youth starts, just to pray for people. Like, in my head, I think if we see anybody with crutches or a wheelchair or like a brace or anything, like, I think at least 3 people should ask them if they need prayer before they even get into the church. That's just my thought. So I came over, and I was talking with people, and I was at the FSM table, and this little lady came walking by. Her name was Irene. I don't know if she's here tonight. But she was walking, not like with a limp, but she just had something going on. And I just felt like God kind of highlighted her to me. Just something stuck out, like she needed prayer. So I just said, "Hey, good morning." And she's like, "Good morning." And she gave me this big smile. And she had like a twinkle in her eye. And I could just see, like, you know when you feel God's love for somebody? Like, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, God loves her so much." And so she's walking like that. And I said, "Did you hurt your leg?" And she's like, "Well," and she kind of goes into a story briefly of how she was hit by a semi-truck years ago. And it messed up her hips and her back and even kind of toward her face some. And so I asked her, "Well, what's going on with your leg?" And she's like, "Well, because of what happened, one leg was shorter than the other." And just from things I've learned at this church, from like Carl and Lonnie and from you and just what's been taught here, I'm like, "Well, God can grow out a leg." She's in church. Why not? Why wouldn't God grow her leg out right now? He loves her. So I took her by the hand. I'm like, "Let's go pray that God grows your leg out." And she's like, "Cool," you know, she didn't say cool, but like that. I was like, "Okay." So I took her by the hand, and we walked way to the back out there in the atrium, and we just sat down, and I had her sit down and kind of, you know, put her back against the seat and make sure her hips were, you know, just kind of aligned, and I just lightly picked up her feet, and I told her what I was going to do. I'm saying, "We're just going to ask God for a miracle, that he literally grows your feet, grows your leg out." And I held her feet up, and I could see her left foot was about half an inch shorter than her right. And so I'm like, "Do you see that?" She's like, "Yeah," and she knew that. So we held it up, and so I spoke blessings over her for a second, and I said, "Okay, now we're just going to pray, just like you said, in Jesus' name, for God to grow your leg out." And so I just held him up, and I held him very lightly, and I'm looking intently because I'm like, I want to see what God's going to do. And, you know, I just said, like, you know, "In Jesus' name, left leg grow out." And literally before the words came out of my mouth, her foot started, her leg started shaking and it shifted out, like within less than a second. And I'm looking at it, you know, I don't care who you are, whenever you see a miracle, that doesn't get old. And I'm like, right. Oh my gosh, you know, and I'm like, God, just grew your leg out. And she starts crying and I'm just like, okay. And then she goes, and my shoulder's hurting too. And I'm like, ooh, God's moving. So I'm like, we're just going to start hitting everything. So we prayed over her shoulder and just, you know, from things I've learned here, like I had her tested out. So she got up and she walked around and she just felt so touched by God. And I give God all the glory for this. She felt so touched by God and just was crying and happy. And I'm just like, that's how much God loves you. That's how much God loves you. So it was awesome. It was a miracle. And I believe that's for everybody here. I believe God's the healer. And I believe yes. He it's his desire if you're here to heal you. That's what I believe. I pray for people they don't get healed, but that's not going to stop me. I'm going to pray for every single person here. That's another thing I felt like that God gives us territories. And like, if this is your church and you see people here, this is your family. Like, this is my family. And it's our responsibility to pray over one another and the things that you're teaching and power and authority and faith and expecting for God to move. So this is you know, might sound weird, but you guys are you're my personal responsibility. And God's put a love in my heart for you. Even if I don't know you, when I walk around and I see you guys, I'm like, God, who do you want to touch this morning? Who do you, like you said, who do you have a word for? Who do you want to encourage? Or who needs healing? Who needs deliverance? And then just moving forward and just asking him to touch people's lives.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand for that testimony. Stay here for just a second. If we don't get excited about that kind of stuff, we should already be with Jesus. Seriously, that is the stuff we should get fired up about. Those are the things that God is doing. You and Christy and some of the other people that you're just encouraging to do crazy things in believing God. You guys are doing these things once a week or every other week, and you're doing these things called treasure hunts. So not only are you praying for people in the body and people that you see that need a touch or that need prayed for, but just briefly tell us a little bit about what a treasure hunt looks like.
Okay. This is not something that we invented, but for the last couple of years, Chris Nielsen and myself have been taking the high school students out to mostly downtown Denver to pray over people. And just recently this year, and we also do like nursing homes and pray for people that have Alzheimer's and stuff like that. But this year, we felt like, Chris and I talked, and we felt like not only are we supposed to reach out to downtown Denver to pray for those people, but we need to reach out to our community. And that, I think, you know, just hearing your stories and hearing Pastor Dennis and Cindy's stories, that Faith Bible Chapel, our DNA is a church where people used to drive here. I remember you telling me people would drive here from up north, like Fort Collins, to come here because they get prayed for and they get healed. And I love that. Like, that's my church. That's my church. That's this church, and that's my church. And I'm believing for that. So we used to just do downtown, but now we're doing the community because we want to go out and love on people and move in power and authority, God's power and authority, for people to get healed and delivered yes. and just touched by God, and then invite them to church to just come into this family. So we do these things called treasure hunts. And I know we talked, Jeff Razor had a couple testimonies about 2 months ago, I guess. But what basically we get a group of people together, we come in and we just pray and we ask God for, give us names, give us clothing items, give us things that people need prayer for. You know, we have all these different categories. We write these down on a piece of paper, and that's like our treasure map. And people are God's treasure. So we take these lists and we just go out into the community. And these are things that are supernatural because we're like, it's like supernatural evangelism and outreach. It's not like anything I've ever done before, but it's amazing. And so we just ask God, give us these clues. And we go out and we literally find people. And you can show them a list. And, if it was like you, I could walk up and I'm like, if your name was Bill, it's like, Bill, I got your name. I've got the Target. We're in Target. I got that you were wearing the shirt, and I got that you need prayer for this. And I would show it to you, and people's hearts are cracked open because they're like, how did you know that about me? I mean, we've had people say, like, are you guys real? Are you angels? We're like, no, we just asked God for direction, and he brought us to you. And then their hearts are, like, opened. And then they're like, you know, they're just so receptive for whatever it is you want to pray or speak into them, and there's just an openness. And so we do that with some of the students, but it's open to anybody, whoever wants to do it, to learn. And it's funny because sometimes people, like, I remember the first time Chris went out, she was terrified. She's like, I don't want to do this. And within the first 5 minutes of we found a guy that was on a bench, passed out on drugs. We brought him to Taco Bell, and he was completely out of it. And within like 10 minutes, he was completely sober. And just through praying with him and Chris praying over him and hugging him, like, God touched his heart. And that's just one story. There's tons of stories like that happening. So yeah.
Really, this is really stuff that is happening. It's happening in and around our community. God wants us to be a part of it. I remember not long after meeting you, you had asked me if I would meet you for a cup of coffee. And so I thought I would meet him about halfway. And we met at 80th and Wadsworth. There's a Starbucks there. And we sat down in the Starbucks, and we had been there for 5 or 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. We didn't even know each other well. I think I, you know, had met you maybe at church, and somehow we decided that we were going to have a conversation, have a cup of coffee. And I sat there for about 5 or 10 minutes having a cup of coffee with you, and I saw you watch somebody walk out of the Starbucks. And you weren't paying attention to our conversation anymore. You were watching this person walk out of Starbucks, and then you said, I got to go. I got to go pray for that person. So I watched him get up, walk out of Starbucks. The guy was getting ready to get on a motorcycle, and he just stopped and started talking and then prayed with the person that was going to get on the motorcycle. Did you start, was that easy for you to start doing, or was it just something that was impossibly difficult for you? Did you do it with somebody else, or did you just take baby steps along the way to get there? How did you get there?
This actually started with a group of 5 high school students, and we just started learning about it. We're like, you know, we all kind of felt like we were putting God in a box. We're like, well, it's like things you were talking about tonight. Like, Jesus says, I'm going to do things he did and even greater. I'm like, why not? And so we started believing that. We started like trying to like go online and like, you know, watch videos on YouTube. And we started seeing people that were actually moving like this and like shooting videos of it. And our hearts got so stirred. And there was like one night, there's like 5 high school students, and there's like Christy and I, and it's like, you know, 11 o'clock at night, and our kids are asleep. And we are so worked up because we're watching like all these miracles and hearing testimonies of what God's doing, like miraculous, supernatural things. And like, you know, our kids were upstairs in bed asleep, but we wanted to leave. So we wanted to go to Walmart just to pray over somebody, to like just see him love on and do something amazing. And so that's how it started a couple years ago. And then each year, I don't really get nervous anymore. I don't really know what God's going to do. But when I first started, yeah, it was kind of like you go up, it's kind of awkward. You're like, you know, if you have a word for somebody, you're like, hey, this might sound kind of crazy, but I feel like God wants you to know this, you know. One thing I've learned is like the more transparent I am, even if I'm nervous, but I can speak that to him, like they see like there's an honesty to me. Like I'm not like a used car salesman like trying to sell Jesus, but you're just more yourself. People receive that. And so that's kind of how it started. So I don't really get nervous anymore, but I'm not always like, sometimes I feel like God might tell me to do something and like, I try to listen, but sometimes like it looks like it's difficult to get in there. Like an example would be a couple of weeks ago, we went to Target, and there was like a haircutting place, and I walked by, and there was like 3 people in my group, 3 high school students, and I walked by, and there was it was like a haircutting place, and there was 2 people in there, and there was like nobody getting their haircut, and I walked by, and I saw a guy there, that I'm like, and I just felt like God's like, you need to go pray for him. I'm like, so I didn't really feel like doing it, so I just kind of walked by, and we went, and we did something else, and then we walked by it again, and I looked at him, I'm like, oh. It's like, you know, when God highlights somebody, he's like, you need to go talk to that person. I'm just like, I don't know. So I didn't do it because I was kind of nervous. So we go back to the car, and we're in the car, and we're waiting for the rest of our team to come back. And I was telling one of the girls about it, and she's just like, we should go pray for him right now while we're waiting. And I'm like, you know, like, I don't know. And she's like, yeah, just go pray. So it's like this high school girl calling me out, like, not in a bad way, but like to encourage me. And so I'm like, you're right, I should go pray for him. So I walked back, but now this guy's cutting somebody's hair. And I'm like, oh, like, how do you approach somebody? Like, you know, I had a word for him. It was about the father's love for him. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to give this word to this guy because he's cutting somebody's hair. And so I just kind of, I walked towards the door. I'm like, God, you're going to have to make this happen because I don't know what it's going to look like. And so I was a little nervous. And I opened the door and this one lady walks up and she's like, I'll be right with you. And I'm like, okay. And then it was weird. The guy that was cutting hair that I was supposed to give the word to, actually, he put his scissors down and then he walked up to the front. He's like, you know, what's your name? What was your, you know, because he thought I had an appointment to get my hair cut. And I said, actually, this might sound strange, but I have a word for you. And I just said, this is how God feels about you. And I just was able to speak into him. And it was just cool how God orchestrated it. And I walked away. I didn't really know how he received it, but that's not, you know, I just have to be obedient.
Yes.
I have to be obedient. So yes. So I guess, yeah, sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's difficult, but when you move in obedience, like, that's the life. Like, that's what God calls us to. He doesn't call us to a boring, you know, just getting by, just surviving life. That's not what Jesus calls us to. Like, he calls us to, like, vibrancy and life and excitement and power and authority to move in that. Like, that's for every single person here that we have the Holy Spirit. That's the life he calls us to. That's the life I want. So I try for that.
Amen. Amen. Let's give Scott a hand. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. Thank you. We need to hear those things. God said, I'm going to put this miracle in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and I'm going to let people know how I feel, O unbelieving generation. How long am I going to stay with this? And then the cry of the heart is, if you can, I do believe, Lord, help me with my unbelief. God will help us with our unbelief. God will help you. He knows where you're at. He'll meet you where you're at. He doesn't expect you to be down at the 100-yard line, but he expects you to start the race. And you start the race and you just take baby steps and you start here in the family of God. You start in your own home and you start blessing one another. And then God will give you words to speak over one another. You'll pray for one another and we'll see the Bible lived out. That's what Jesus wants. I want to live the Bible. The Bible says I'm supposed to be doing this stuff. All things are possible. Everything is possible for him who believes. So, doubt is this state of mind in suspension between faith and unbelief. I want to give more weight to faith. I want to give more weight to faith. And I want to believe that God is going to move and work through me. Amen? Okay, now take your notes. And I'm going to move through them fast. Don't be getting nervous on me and don't be looking at the clock and being all worried. Say, okay. Thank you. So, you are an agent, are you not? You have been authorized. You have been given an endowment with authority. You're an authorized agent, just like Scott was describing to us. You are an authorized agent, and you are duly sanctioned. So, it's already a done deal. Now, it's just a matter of taking up the assignment and doing it. So, Paul says, brothers and sisters, regarding your question about special abilities, I'm reading from the NLT. The New Living says gifts. I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept away along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but in the same God who does all the work in us, a spiritual gift is given to each and every one of us. So, we are going to, in the next 3 weeks, we are going to zero in on three manifestation gifts. Manifestation is what? It's right on your outline. It's showing, making visible, or making known. In other words, there's gifts in the Bible that are called manifestation gifts. There's 9 of them, and by definition, these are gifts that are meant for showing, making visible, or making known. Making known what? God. Making known God's will. Making God's love known to a man that's cutting hair. Making God known is what we're called to do, and the manifestation gifts, as they flow through us, do those things. So I'm just going to move through this very quickly so that you can say you walked out of here with a complete outline. The gifts are not rewards given for good behavior or productivity. They're not rewards. You can't earn them. I can't earn them. This afternoon when I was teaching at YWAM, I get hit with emotion a lot when I'm teaching, but it hit me more today than it has. And I even said to the students in a long time, I had to stop teaching for a couple minutes as I was teaching. And the thing that overwhelmed me so much was this. I was remembering when I was a teenager how I hated people. Oh, I hated people. I hated them. Most of you know I've said it many times, but I just did not like people. That's why I went in the Marine Corps. Boy, God so changed me. I'm still on the way, and I'm still desiring to be all that God wants me to be in the area of loving people, but I am not what I once was. I'm not what I want to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be, but I'm not what I once was. And it just, I was overcome with emotion because I know it was people speaking into my life with words of wisdom and words of knowledge. God has a call on your life, and He wants you to love people, and He wants you to pastor people, and He wants you to shepherd people. And I heard those things, as crazy as they sounded, I heard them when I was as mean could be. And I was not a fan of people at all. And God just did this radical work in me. And it was because of these gifts that we're talking about, these manifestation gifts. Oh, you need them. Say, I need them. You not only need them for yourself, you need to share them with others. And you have them. When God wants you to have them, you'll have them. And they'll manifest in your life, like Scott was telling us. They'll manifest at the right time, and there'll be a word in season, or you'll pray for somebody, and they'll be miraculously healed. Believe me. That's what Jesus said. Believe me. It's that simple. It's not complicated. Believe me, pray in my name, in Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, I have a word for you. And we believe that. So, we're going to talk about three distinctions of manifestation gifts over the next 3 weeks. And we're going to come, and we're going to come expecting, right? And you're going to invite somebody that's not here tonight. Invite somebody to be here. Step out of the boat and invite somebody to be here. So let me give you the three distinctions of the manifestation gifts. It's 7:44 here, but it's only 6:44 in California. Three distinctions of the manifestation gifts. Number one, the gifts of revelation. So there are three gifts that are manifestation gifts. These are gifts of revelation. These are gifts of knowing something. You don't have to know, you don't have to try to know what I'm talking about yet. We're going to start diving into this next week. Those gifts of revelation, revelation is disclosure of something. So three of these manifestation gifts are revelation gifts. And those gifts are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Those are gifts. And there's going to be time that God is going to want to work through you, and you're going to have a word of wisdom for someone. You're going to have a word of knowledge for someone. You're going to discern spirits. Not because I say, but because Jesus said, believe me. Okay, I'll believe him. Say okay. Say okay like you mean it. So, there are gifts of revelation. These are gifts for knowing. Number two, the gifts of inspiration. We all need inspiration. I need to be inspired sometimes. I just need to be encouraged. I need to be lifted up. I need to be built up. I get crabby. I get grumpy. I get out of whack. I get out of sorts. And so, there are gifts of inspiration. Say thank you. There are gifts of inspiration. These are gifts of saying. In other words, the gifts of inspiration, the manifestation gifts in 1 Corinthians, the gifts of inspiration are gifts that say something. They're prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. The beautiful thing about God is that He can weave with this brilliant tapestry that only God can weave it. He can weave these brilliant giftings and see them flow together in such marvelous ways. It's unbelievable. It's just like what Scott was describing. He could stand up here and we could stand up and just share testimony after testimony, and you could too. But I want to fill my quiver with more testimonies. And I want to fill my life with more testimonies about the faithfulness of God. I want to work until He comes to get me. Amen? I want to serve until He comes to get me, and I want to tell people about Jesus. So they're gifts of inspiration. That was a prophecy that Scott gave to that man. Word of encouragement, word of exhortation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. There's also number three, there's gifts of power. Say power. There's gifts of power. These are gifts that do. Gifts of power. There's faith, there's healing, and there's miracles. Jesus talked about them. We see them in the Bible. We just read about a miracle. And what did the man say? Oh, Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. So the man was a one, or the man was a two, and he wanted to be a three. If I'm a two, I want to be a three. If I'm a three, I want to be a four. If I'm a four, I want to be a five. If I'm a five, I want to be a five on steroids. Because I want to be on fire for Jesus. And I want to believe what he says. And I want to have faith to believe that his word is true. So there's gifts of power. And there's times that God wants those gifts to flow through you. There have been times that I've prayed for people and God's healed them. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. I've had people pray for me and I've been healed. I've prayed for people. I've seen God work and move in my life in the area of the gift of faith. And I've seen it happen. And God is no respecter of persons. God desires to do that in all of our lives. We just need to be open to it. And we need to be available. We just need to say, okay, God, I'm here and I'm ready. So, the discovery and the demonstration of gifts are for serving. So, the discovery of these gifts, you and I are going to discover. We discover things. The longer we walk with God, the more we discover things about God. Isn't that true? The longer you do life with your family, the more you know about your family. So these gifts then, the discovery and the demonstration of these gifts are for serving. They're not so we can get on TV and make a lot of money. Hello. They're not for that kind of nonsense. That is not what they're for. They are for serving. They are for serving, and sometimes it's for serving behind the scenes and when nobody else is looking, and you just go up to somebody and you just pray for them, and you just love them, and you just bless them, and you just encourage them, and you speak things over them, and you pray, and you have faith, and all of these things, and as you discover and those gifts start being demonstrated in your life, what we do is we serve one another. So what it comes down to is what we started with. You and I must believe Jesus. That's really what it comes down to. It really comes down to believing Jesus. This is the last thing that I wrote down on my notes. What an agent needs, are you an agent? Are you an agent? What an agent needs is a sense of the possible, but some are plagued with a sense of the impossible. What an agent needs is the sense of the possible. It is possible. It is not only possible, it is probable, and it is likely, and it is biblical that we are supposed to walk in these things. So I'm going to ask Pastor Dennis to come back up here, and here's how I'd like to close. Don't stand up quite yet, but here's how I would like to close. The fact of the matter is, you're authorized. The fact of the matter is, you have authority. The fact of the matter is, Jesus has called you. Those are all facts. Now, maybe your believability just needs to start ratcheting up a little bit so that we step out and we have some confidence to do what God has said. I don't want God frustrated because I'm not believing. And so if I need to believe and read the scriptures and remind myself of the faithfulness of God and remind myself of the miracles that Jesus did and all of the things that Jesus did, then I'm going to do it in faith. Because when I approach things in faith, everything then becomes possible. Don't look at yesterday. Don't look at last week. Don't look at last month. Today. Today is the day that it starts.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.